Hey, it's Cam. This week I was talking about worship and how our lives are worship and how we are people who minister to the Lord. And because we are solidified in our identity, we know that we don't have to twist his arm or convince him to show up. But he's so eager to show up every single time. And that's our goal, to love on him and minister to him and for him to show up, because that changes everything. I hope this blesses you.
I'm going to pray real quick. Holy Spirit, come more right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, grow our capacity for more. We don't want to move past you. You're the goal, Jesus. And so we make space right now. And you have complete permission to encounter the Lord in whatever way you want to, or you feel like him moving into your in your body, or if you feel heat or electricity, just like respond to it. Respond to him right now. In any way, Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing. Holy Spirit, come more right now. We receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. If you need something, just believe for it. I mean, just believe right now. He's blessing you with faith. Yeah. I see like Jesus kind of walking through. He has like a almost like a sand bag or like a sack, and it's like full of like just gold dust type stuff, and I just feel like he's just like pouring it out on you. So just receive that, whatever that is. And it's like, you know how like sometimes when Santa pulls out a gift, it's just like exactly what you need, like from like the Santa Claus movie. It's like Jesus, you know what I'm talking about? Jesus is so much better. And so that gold dust is just whatever you need right there. Just receive it. It's super good. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've already done. Would you help me, please? For real. Would you anoint my words, and help my thoughts, and help me communicate? But more than that, help me live it and help me be it. I don't want to just talk about a revelation. I want to live a revelation. Jesus' name. I'm going to talk about worship today, which is kind of cool. This is like year three for me. And I've spoken a couple of times. And I didn't want to do like the cliche. I'm not a big fan of cliches, if you haven't noticed that already. And so I was like, I don't want to be the worship pastor and then come in and talk about worship. I'm just going to leave that for dad or whatever, if he wants to do it. And then this year, he like totally gave me permission for it. And I was just like, okay, that's exactly what I needed. Because I have been feeling a little bit about it, and like I wanted to share some stuff about it. But yeah, so today I'm going to talk about worship. That's cool. I won't keep you long. Worship is an offering, right? It's a sacrifice. A gift from our hearts to his. Worship is so much more than a song. It's an expressed act of adoration and love. And since we know that worship is a response to something, to someone, it is declarations of worth and value. And just a little bit, I guess, a peek into what some of our debriefs are. Team nights look like. If there's one thing that I try to drive home with all of our team that we are doing so incredible at, is our number one job is ministering to the Lord. How can we find Jesus? And how do we partner with what he's doing, right? And And that is also super dope for the corporate. It's amazing. And that's kind of like what the teaching is based off. But all this is stemming from a place of intimacy with the Lord, where the worship is a response to who he is, because I've seen him in that way. I've seen him in the secret, and I've known that this is so what he's like. So it doesn't, like, whenever we get in the corporate, I don't have to wait until they play a really good anointed song. And I don't have to, like we've talked about being thermometers and thermostats, right? We are the ones who set, because we know who he is, and we've seen him, and we've seen him rightly. And our response is always to who he is, never to a circumstance. And so it doesn't really matter what our weeks look like. And I know we talk about that a lot, but it's a super funny thing, because as Christians or as believers, largely, that affects us a whole lot. And it's funny to think about it, because, like, how shallow is that? Like, to really sit back and think is like, oh, man, I took way too long to iron my shirt today, so I'm going to take a break on the first song. And then if it gets really anointed on song two, if they flow for a little bit, then I'll pop one of those numbers right there, and then we'll be good for it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, might be a two-handed praiser. I got to do my left hand now that I have tattoos, so I go like this. I do one of those. Yeah. No, but, I mean, it is something where it's just like figuring out, and he's talked about it a little bit, but it is absolutely like an expression of like worth and giving constant value to Jesus, responding to who he is and agreeing. Worship is expressed fascination. Worship is the beautiful circle we love on him and he loves on us, the continuous connection. And I've talked about this a couple times, where it's not something to where we are, we're worshiping him to receive something, right? I feel like in a lot of circles, in a lot of church cultures, that is a really big theological doctrine of just like, I have to worship to receive something. Like, brother, you got to worship for your breakthrough right now. You know what I'm saying? Which is like totally like unbiblical, because you're a son and you're a daughter. So it's like, you don't have to twist his arm for that. But like, he's super kind in the fact of, I've noticed every single time I get into this mode of adoration, it's like this super awesome circle of just like, Jesus, I love you. And I can just feel his delight. And then he helps me love him more. You know what I'm saying? It's not, and so it starts out as a response to who he is, and then it turns into something that's like, dude, I'm actually going to help you love me. And you started loving me. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because I know it can be this weird tension of just like we've talked about, like, he doesn't give me a dance. I give him that, right? But then he empowers me in some ways to find him, so I can help release what he's doing in the room. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, I don't know why, and this is probably the first time I'm ever really thinking about this, but there's something on that corner over there, because every time I'm leading worship, it's just like I'll stare right at that corner, and I have no idea what that's about. And so that's a freebie. yeah. but anywho, this thing, I felt like my mom right there. In like the most, in like best way ever. In like the most best way ever. But yes, I found in worship, it becomes this super amazing thing. Oh, I remember why I did that. It's because I look over there sometimes, and sometimes I can picture Jesus in the room and what he's releasing. And for some reason, he's always releasing something over there. So it's like, I guess instead of sitting in this one direction, we all need to go over there and be like 50 feet from the stage, right? And then everybody's going to be like, oh, it's so good. No, but this thing of like this circle, it's like I start loving on him, and then I find what he's doing, and then he can give me that to release, right? Because I've talked about the difference between prophetic and spontaneous worship, right? Prophetic worship is, what is he doing in the room? What is he releasing that I get to help partner with release? And spontaneous worship is just comes straight from my heart to his. Does that make sense? Thanks, Mom. Worship is love on display. Anytime, ever, if I feel strivey, what do? I start loving. It's super easy to love him too. it's not hard. And I know sometimes we try to make it super difficult. And we think of just like, oh, dude, I want to be. And this is not even necessary. This isn't just for worship leaders. This is for us. We're all worshipers, right? We've talked about that before. We know that we're priests, all of us. And it's not about moving in this like super great anointing. And the best worship leaders I've ever encountered are super in love. And you don't have to, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, well, I don't want to have to convince you of how awesome he is, right? That's not my job. He's good at convincing, you know what I'm saying? He's beautiful enough to where he shows himself, and he shows himself rightly. He's eager to show up every time, and we don't have to twist his arm. Worship is not something the Lord gives us, right? We just talked about it. It's absolutely something we give him in terms of expression. He's eager to show up every single time. I've been enamored with this thing for a while of, and I hope I can communicate this rightly, that yes, the Lord dreams about moments with you, right? It's like, it's super awesome. He dreams about you. He's going to encounter you. But I learned something whenever I started to really know what it was like to have expectation in a healthy way concerning the corporate expression, was that he was so eager to meet me every single time I showed up. I knew he was going to show up, and he wanted to encounter me. And he didn't pick a special date in March, whatever this day is. It's just like, you know what? That day I'm gonna encounter Cameron. It's going to change everything. But it's like Saturday I'm going to encounter Cameron. It's going to change everything. Friday I'm going to encounter. You know what I'm saying? And it's this thing of expectation, is that he's so easy to find, and he's so eager to show up every single time. That's why I am like anytime this thing of just like striving gets up, or maybe the crowd isn't responding, which is lame anyways, but like in a sense of me trying to face success. Excuse me. Sorry. And yeah, you guys are so not lame. I'm not talking about Awakening Church. I'm so not talking about Awakening Church. anyways, dude, this is a perfect example of me being a son right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking. What was that? Yes, yeah, thank you. Yeah. If these moments of striving, right? If it's like, okay, how do I do this? How do this? My job is not to cheerlead you into like, oh man, this is him. My job is to show you him. And then from that, I just love on him. And I think the best way to do that is putting my love on display, because it becomes super contagious every single time. Every single time. Because I'm a son, I don't have to prove or convince him to move in a circumstance, or to show that I'm worthy of a blessing. It's that whole thing of just like, oh, I got to pray for or praise for my blessing or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's a really big thing. And I honestly, I was one of those people that's like, dude, Jesus, like, I'm like, you are so worthy, Jesus. Please bless me or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And it's so much more about an identity thing of knowing that because you're a son and because you're a daughter, some of that stuff you don't even have to ask. It's who you are. It's embedded in your DNA. So I don't have to twist his arm, and I don't have to convince him to come. I just start loving. You know what I'm saying? My worship through an impossible circumstance is not a performance or something I'm striving for, so that maybe he will move in it. You know what I'm saying? We talk about in the midst of like really big struggle of loving on Jesus and worshiping him. I don't have to convince him in that. It's like, hey, Lord, look, this sucks a whole lot, but I'm super holy, so you can move in this and make it better. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. It's more just like, I don't ever get the chance to give him a fragrance like this ever again. And I won't get it in on the other side of eternity. Bill talks about that. I won't get it on the other side of eternity. And so this is an opportunity to give him a fragrant offering that he can receive right now. That'll cost me something. And sometimes that's really hard because that cost can be pretty pricey. It can be expensive. It could cost me to give up my feelings. It can cost me to really search myself and just like, is he on the throne? Or belief, like values and beliefs, it'll absolutely cost that too. Because then I have to wrestle with the question, do I think he's good? Because this is not really cool right now. This isn't good. And so I'm going to withhold love from him because he is withholding love from me, which is such, it's such an orphan thing. Like, yeah. We worship in intense difficulty because it helps us see from his view. We accept the invitation to come up here. And because his presence is life itself, it is the very air we breathe and that which sustains us. Let's go to John 4, 23 through 24. From here on, are we sure that's it? Okay, maybe I got it wrong, which is super possible. From here on, worshiping the Father. Oh, no, yeah, this is right. I'm so sorry. From here on, worshiping the Father. Guys, I'm really trying to be super serious right now. So then the Lord can move. You know what I'm saying? Dude, help me. And I forget I'm on a podcast now. Like, this, like, I was talking to him. I was doing so good up until that moment right there where it's like, oh, dang it. And I'm the one editing it too. So anyways, from here on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit and he longs to have sincere worshipers like us who worship and adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth. Was that both of them or was that just 23? That's both sick. I command my soul, spirit, or whatever, I command my soul to bless you. If you ever hear me a lot, I'm going to give you another little nugget. If you're like ever just like, oh, I know what Cam's doing right there. There's something in the room where maybe there's a little bit of heaviness, or maybe, I don't want to say engagement, but maybe it's like, not engagement with me, engagement with heaven, right? There's a little nugget. If I start singing something like I command my soul to bless you, it's so something that we can all grab on together and go somewhere, go further. And so then I start making declarations as you're worthy, and it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if it's rainy outside. It's like, you are super good. And so I command my soul to bless you. So that's another free nugget right there. I'm writing a worship book. Yep. It's called The Reset Part 2. Shout out to Jeremy Riddle. I don't know him at all. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Absolutely. All right. I can come boldly before the throne because he made a way for us to worship anywhere because Jesus is the way. Right? I'm going to say that one more time so maybe I won't be laughing as hard. I can come boldly before the throne because he made a way for us to worship anywhere because he is the way. Jesus is the way. I don't have to warm up in worship or try, I said LOL, to try and feel out the room. You know what I'm saying? I remember whenever I kind of found out about that at first, and I was just like, dude, I look so cool just filling out the room first, like before I engage. Because it's such a real thing. It's very real, but it's like it goes back to that, who's in love? You're going to know. You know what I'm saying? And I don't have to try to, he's here, and that's all that matters. And I have the ability to bring him into any circumstance in any building or any corporate expression that I'm in. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have to just feel out what they're doing or what's happening or whatever to be a mature Christian or to show everybody I'm a leader. It's like, no, he's good. And I'm going to love on him right now in front of everybody. I said, you never have to wonder who's in love because it looks like something. You can see it in people, the way they act, the way they talk. And our worship is never dictated on a song, feeling, or place, because he's worthy, and that's the end of the story. He's on the throne of our hearts, not a song, feeling, or place. And around the throne, they say holy over and over again, they are getting more done by loving rather than ever having to lift a finger. Way more done. And what if everything I needed is at his feet and my identity is found being at his feet? Like with Mary and Martha. Martha was trying to do all this stuff for Jesus whenever they're in whenever they're the house. You know what I'm saying? She was trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. Martha was trying to work or do something, and then Mary wanted to be at his feet and was getting way more done in that moment, choosing to be with Jesus and love him rather than do all his ministry. Because I don't want to be like Martha sometimes whenever he wants me to be at his feet and I'm trying to do ministry for him and make it sound super noble and super saved and holy. Because like, well, Jesus, I'm doing this thing right now. I am doing the command my soul to bless you thing. It's like on worship right now. It's team night. Worship night. It's basement nights. And I'm trying to do all this ministry. When it's like, why don't I actually open up a door for all of us to be at his feet? You know what I'm saying? And I don't ever have to try. And I don't have to try to lift a finger. And they're in heaven saying holy and getting way more done than me having to do ministry. And sometimes the worker, like Martha, gets mad at the lover because it looks like wasting time. Sometimes to the worker, but it's simply just being. And I think that's really tough for some believers. I know it's hard for me sometimes because I'm very much somebody that I like to do stuff right. And so if I feel like I'm not, then it's like not cool. So I'm learning to be. And I'm learning to be okay with like him loving me. And that's uncomfortable for people who have to work for love. Whether it come from relationships or parental relationships where there was this give and take, this contract of like, hey, buddy or sis, you did this super good, so I'm going to love you. Now, I'm all down for rewards, right? But if there was this exchange of love or the only time they felt love is if they performed for it, that's super unhealthy and that's not at all like our Father, right? And then we start moving in this working for love rather than from love. Really, it's nothing more than not knowing who you are and whose you are because I don't find my identity in works or ministry. I find my identity in Jesus, and from that place, it all flows. And living from love, not working to gain it, because that's being an orphan again. That's me having to perform for you. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, there's times where it's like, hey, like, what is it? Meet the Robinsons, I think, where he was an orphan, and there was these adopted parents who come in, and he was, like, basically trying to show. It's like, hey, I'm so worth being loved. Like, I promise I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And it's just like, I'm just forgetting who I am. When I get moments like these, whenever I'm trying to work and I'm trying to be like Martha, whenever I'm supposed to be like Mary, where I'm like, hey, Jesus, I'm so worth being loved. Look at this, I can do ministry really good. I'm super anointed. And he's not really impressed with that at all. My fascination with him takes me further than my determination ever could. His gaze is always on the one who loves him. And extravagance looks foolish to people who aren't in love or fascinated. And that is way more than a good one-liner. It's absolutely true. Because then you hear people say, well, it doesn't take like that. Or I'm not emotional that way. That's cool. You cannot be in love or fascinated. Like, because, I mean, we've talked about it before. Somebody gives you $1 million. I don't think it's going to be like, that was super cool. It's not about a response at all. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. But extravagance is super common to people who are in love. Like this Valentine's Day. I bet some people crushed it. You know what I'm saying? They were like, yeah, my dad absolutely crushed it. Like, he wrote a song for my mom and, like, was the best. You know what I'm saying? That's extravagance because love looks like something. And I'm sure my mom crushed it too. But extravagance looks wise to the intimate. Jesus never made Mary Magdalene or Mary of Bethany feel foolish when she was wasting her perfume on his feet. He received it. Extravagance is the only response to the one in love. And Corey Russell said, we don't graduate from being at his feet. Like, that one's a tough one. Because what does that really look like, to being at his feet? It might mean that we miss on a lot of opportunities or a lot of ministry where it's like, hey, actually, that's okay. And it can kind of, and sometimes maybe that can attack our pride or our ego of this thing of just like, but then it goes back to knowing our identity. And that's where we find it. We don't graduate from it. He's looking for lovers. Lovers. Let's go to Psalms 104. And I am, if they have the passion, yeah. You can, I think we all know it. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise or thankfulness. Come right into his presence. Oh, yeah. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him. We enter his gates, how we might be more familiar. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And thanksgiving is where we start. It gets us through the gate. Our gratitude grows our capacity for more, and we see him better in that. Does that make sense? Like, me acknowledging what he's done and being thankful for it, it's growing my capacity to see him and to be aware of him in other scenarios. Thankfulness is how we remember who he has been to us and how he has proved himself time after time. And we move into his courts. We lift up praise, adoration, and love from a pure place of this is who you are and you are worthy of all my love. It becomes really easy because we give back to him what he's already done or written. Does that make sense? So I just start saying back scripture to him. So it's so funny because anytime, I say this to a lot of people, if Jesus or the gospel or like anything about this seems way too good to be true, then that sounds a whole lot like Jesus. Because it's this thing where it's like, he's kind of done everything for you and you just have to yield to it, right? And so he's like, here's how you love me. It's like the best relationship ever. Well, yeah, it is, but it's like in terms of romantic, right? Where it's like sometimes we have to like, oh, I don't know if I need that. I don't know if I'm comfortable enough to even let you know that I need that, right? He's just like, hey, this is how you do it. Enter the gates with thanksgiving, enter the courts with praise, and this is how you love me. I gotta find my place again. Oh yeah, it becomes really easy because we give back to him what he's already done or what he's written, like agreeing with his word, agreeing with who he said he is and letting our hearts connect to him in that way. It is a deep place to love him. Like a really deep place. And it's not something that we ever move past. Or like there's something like to go forward in. It's like loving him is the goal. And that's super, super deep. The creator of the universe, the savior of the world, the worthy lamb and the lion of Judah. Just talking about him, love starts becoming contagious. It's that whole thing of remembering who he is, right? There's another nugget. When I'm leading worship, and maybe I feel like he wants to do something else, it goes back to love. But my number one default, not that worship is a formula at all. Please hear my heart. Worship is not a formula. But my default is go up because he really likes. It's not like stroking his ego or anything like that. But he really enjoys whenever we start loving on him and we start talking about how he's the lion and he's the lion and the lamb. He's the lion of Judah and he conquered the grave. You know what I'm saying? He was David's root and the lamb. Threw open the grave. All right, I'm gonna wrap this thing up. Let's go to Colossians 3, 16, 17. 16 through 17, excuse me. Let the word of Christ live in you richly flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms and with festive praises and with the prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. What a good verse. What a good commandment. What a good declaration of just like, this is so, it's one of those things like, hey, here's how you love me, or this is something you do. When we are full of him and behold him, we can't help but express love and adoration. We receive his word and let it take root in our hearts to grow our awareness of him, to be our awareness of him to be who he said he is. Is that okay? Does that make sense? Because he's always this, but I want to become aware of him as that. Is that like how some people where it's just like, we kind of say Father God, Lord God, but it's like, I've never really experienced him as Father. You feel me? And so we learn him in that way and we can expect to experience him in that way, right? So it's like, Lord, I thank you so much that you're a provider. Right there, I opened up the door with thankfulness right there. And so it's growing my capacity to receive him in that way more. Does that make sense? And we give back to him what he's already given to us. Like our breath is straight back to him and he owns it anyways. He gave it to us, but we get the chance to let every time we inhale and exhale be a breath of praise to the anointed one. And he does give us prophetic worship to grab hold of what he is doing in the room and help release it, like hope or peace or identity. Usually those are like prophetic songs that he's giving us because he wants to release it. So we partner with that and then we help release it because that's what he wants to do. And then 3:17, let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Just receive that one. And let's go Romans 12:1, last one. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your great pleasure. Genuine expression of worship. Worship is a lifestyle that has a heart set in adoration to him. My life is worship to him. Not some cliche, but a truth that he is in everything and deserves my love. He's not something where I wrote a joke in here, but it was my dad used to talk about a joke, and he was like, when people try to be too spiritual and they go to Burger King, they try to order in the Holy Ghost. Like, can I get a da 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 or whatever? And it's not something like that, right? And which we know that, but it's this fascination, and I love what it said. It's like let all of our words, let our lives be drenched in what he's done and what he's saying, to where my whole life is a worship song to him that he's beautifully written that I get to help write. You know what I'm saying? Because it's that whole me coming to him and giving him this love that he wrote out, this amazing worship story that we all get to be a part of. How do I position my heart in adoration to him that whenever it's everyday life, how do I find him in that? We talk about like transforming a city. I think that's exactly what it looks like, is me learning to position myself in adoration to him. Then I become like him. So then there doesn't matter what circumstance I'm in. I'm getting to release the Redeemer in that because I'm aware of him. Is that okay? the way I love my family is worship to the Lord. And it is knowing what he values, and it's lovers. Real quick, I want to read a little something. I just got finished reading this book called God's Favorite House. I don't know if anybody's read it. It's like really good and like absolutely wrecking my life. And it's by Tommy Tenney, and there's a few chapters in there that I just absolutely stuck out to me. And one of them, he's talking about extending the throne zone, right? And my dad referenced it earlier. It's like we can't make his throne any bigger, but we can make our awareness and our praise expand. Does that make sense? Like if he's enthroned on our praises, so I'm going to expand my thankfulness and my capacity of that so he gets to come sit on it. You know what I'm saying? I got super convicted with it, but I also feel like it's for us as a body and as a family of just like, how do we make space for his throne to be enlarged in our gathering right now? You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like we've been doing super awesome at loving Jesus, especially corporately in the expression, but I know that there's so much more and that we're going to go to a deeper level. And I got a word at the beginning of the year, forgot about it until just now, but it was like, I just saw like there was a beach and it was kind of like we were the beach. I don't know if that makes sense. And these waves were crashing in and it kind of represented like his presence where it was coming in super, super hard. But whenever it got to the shore, if this makes sense, it was like super gentle and the beach and all the sand and everything, it was supporting that weight from it. And that's us. That is us right now. And I feel like the Lord's growing our capacity and he's going to come in crazy, significant, amazing, powerful ways with his glory, specifically during worship. But I feel like we are growing. I feel like actually, yeah, this whole last year, I feel like the Lord's kind of like mentioning this right now. This whole last year, or in like the last 2 years, we've been learning about maturity and learning about like all this stuff of what does it look like to know how we love Jesus. And I feel like it's been setting us up so then we've been able to secure that weight of his glory to be manifested in Awakening Church as a body and as a family. And so just receive that right now, actually. Like, Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing in Awakening. And we thank you that you've been preparing us whenever we think it's sometimes tied with just like political or just family stuff. But it's just like, actually, I'm just so excited to bring more of myself into you, into your body and into what's happening in the expression. So Jesus, we want to be like that beach that I was seeing to where it's like, we are just so ready. I don't have to try. Oh, dude, that's so good. You don't have to try at all. You just be. A beach is not trying to be a beach, you know what I'm saying? Or the sand, it's not trying to. It just is, and those waves are crashing in, and it so knows how to hold that weight from it. It's not like hard, it's not rocks. It was like super clear, white, beautiful sand, and that's us. We're super white, beautiful sand. And Lord, we are so ready for what you're doing in Awakening. And we're ready for the more of you, Jesus. We want to extend the throne zone in Awakening. And we thank you that we are able to support that. I got two more things, okay? He also talks about in God's Favorite House about false finish lines and scented doorknobs, right? And how we don't want to live settling for what once was and have the residue of what he did at one point, but live in an expectation and hunger for him to do it again and to do a new thing right now. Because whenever he shows up, everything else fades away and everything else doesn't matter. And it's kind of like this question where it's like, where is a false finish line, right? And so the Lord knocks on the door of our hearts and in his house, and we do not want to become like Solomon's lazy bride, where we are too comfortable to open the door because it's inconvenient and costs way too much for intimacy, and it's too high, and we move too slowly and casually. And then when we finally open the door of our heart and to his house, because he's always knocking, right? When we finally open the door, all that's there is the fleeting fragrance of where he used to be, and that's not Awakening. That's not us, and I won't be that to where it's like I'm too lazy, and there's this false finish line of just like, you know what, we got 15 people to raise their hands today, where it's like, no, there's so much more.
or somebody was crying. That's super sick. And Jesus, we're thankful for your ministry into the room, but we have to have more. And we won't settle for anything less. You know what I'm saying? And like this thing of just like we did one prayer set or one worship night, one basement night, that's not good enough. We have to have you at all costs. There's not going to be any more false finish lines. And we're going to know if that his presence is the goal, right? That's the ultimate finish line. So where in my life am I settling for false finish lines where his presence is not the goal or I didn't meet that? And then when I opened the door for my lover, but my lover had left, he's gone, and my heart sank at his departure. I looked for him but couldn't find him. We will not be like Solomon's lazy wife. I will not. We will be open, willing, and ready when the door knocks. Actually, we will be ready at the door where at the slightest sight of our lover, we are open and ready to welcome him and love him and make a home for our lover. This is who we are and this is who we will be. Will you put your hands out? Let's receive real quick. Jesus, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you so much for your word. And thank you so much for the actual gift it is to worship you, to love on you. And I thank you so much that it's not a formula, but it's all these little invitations. It's like, hey, experience me like this. Experience me like this. Or, hey, I love this. And that is at the core of what worship is just loving you and giving adoration, agreeing and approving of who you are. That's what praise means. And so, Jesus, would you grow our thankfulness? Would you grow our thankfulness and our capacity to see you rightly and to see you better, Jesus? Help us remember where we've been and what we've come from, but also give us hope for where we're going. And I thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to twist your arm to convince you to move in a situation for us. And we're not manipulating you with our worship. That we love you just because we love you. Because you're worthy. You're the only one worthy. And you're the God that saves and redeems. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in awakening, and I bless it. And I ask for more. Grow our capacity. And Jesus, I just prophesy like crazy encounters in the corporate. And that they will come, they will be started in private intimacy whenever we're opening up the door to our lover. And that it will spill out into the corporate to where it's like somebody came in and they're like, dude, I was just absolutely getting wrecked last night. And then the whole time we can't even move on from getting like up on stage because the Lord is so powerfully moving. I just say yes to that, Lord. And just bless us super, super good. Let us see you rightly, Jesus. Let us see how you're pursuing us this week. Because you're always doing it, and we want to pursue you. Help us love and treat you right, Lord. We love you a whole lot. And we make a stake. Yeah. We put a stake in the ground. And we say, we will not be like Solomon's lazy wife, but we're going to open up the door. And Jesus, help us to be like you.